Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we're going to be doing the halachas of forbidden images. This is Simon Kuf Samaches 168 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at three concepts today, and that is images of heavenly and celestial objects, human images, and replicating the base of Mikdash items. So let's start the top. We are talking about the concept of images of heavenly and celestial objects. The first thing Hashem tells Moshe right after the Aseres HaDibros are given, after the whole experience of Sinai, Hashem says to Moshe, Atem ri'isem ki min ha'shamayim dibarti mochem, you've seen that I've spoken to you from the heavens. Lo yisa'asun iti Elohei chesev Elohei zahav lo yisa'asu lochem. Do not make for you images of silver or gold. Which is very curious, because surely that's the second of the Aseres HaDibros, is not to make images. So why is that mitzvah reiterated after Aseres HaDibros again? And the reason the Mepharshim understand is because the whole experience of Matan Torah was such an overwhelming sensory experience, where they saw such an incredible experience, so much of what was going on in heaven. They saw lightning, they saw thunder, they saw fire. The experience was overwhelming. They may try to replicate, they may try to take the fire and the lightning, which is the gold and the silver, and make images of what they just saw in the heavens, the angels, the celestial spheres. Hashem says, don't try to replicate this experience. This is not about paganism, this is about replicating the experience of Sinai, the experience of the divine as well. So let's just get into some other halachas. What is the prohibition precisely? So the prohibition is to draw or sculpt, that's two-dimensional, three-dimensional, images in the sky. This refers to the upper sky, that's the spiritual images, and the lower sky, which is images of celestial spheres. Let's unpack that further. What objects are explicitly forbidden to draw or sculpt? So from the upper sky, you cannot do any seraphim, ofanim, keruvim, angels, ministering angels, and images of the sun, the moon, and the stars, which are the lower heavens. And what does it mean, these angels? What's prohibited? So it talks about the angels that Yechezkel saw in his vision in the first parak of Yechezkel, the Maaseh Merkava, which describes these angels which had four faces. They had the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the human, and the issue is replicating them with all four. It does not mean to say one cannot draw a lion, but one cannot draw a being with all these four faces on them. What about drawing the sun and the moon, even if it's not 3D? So one is not allowed to draw the sun and the moon or sculpt the sun and the moon, whether it's 2D or 3D. This is also important when teaching children. Children should be taught not to draw the sun and the moon, even though like a typical picture is, you know, green grass, a tree, a house, and the sun and clouds. One should not draw the full sun, which is why if you'll see some pictures, a lot of times you'll see the pictures that children draw, the sun is in the top corner. So it's only like part of the sphere of the sun just shining out, and that's done specifically. It's not just to make things easier, that's to avoid a child drawing the full sun, because one's not allowed to draw a picture of the sun or the moon. Is it permissible to have flat, non-relief celestial images in one's home? So one may keep them if one has them. So one has a picture of the sunset, one has a picture of the moon. One may keep that in one's house, but one may not make it or ask others to make it. What about asking a non-Jew to create forbidden images? So one is not allowed, this is called Amir La'akum, one is not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a prohibition. And this does not just refer to Shabbos, it refers to all Isserim, even to Rabbanon. So one will not be allowed to ask, to contract a non-Jew to make an image which one keeps in one's own house. What about photos of the sun and the moon? This is a really important question. Sunrise is a very popular thing to, sunset, it's very popular to take pictures of. There's a whole discussion in the poskim about this particular topic as well. As an example, the Minchas Yitzchak, Diana Weiss, paskins that it is prohibited because you're not allowed to take a picture of the sun and the moon, even if it's two-dimensional. The Shevet Alevi, that's Ravozna, paskins that it may not apply to taking a picture. He does not talk about printing it. He does not discuss that. So he is more makil on this as well. Perhaps some room to be makil would be, is let's say a sunset or a sunrise, if it's not the full disk of the sun, or if the sun's shining through the clouds, it's not the full disk, we may be able to do this. Others say that it may be all right if it's just taking the picture, but printing it would be an issue. So there's a lot of discussion around this particular topic, and one should ask one's rabbi specifically about this topic, because this is a common application of it, which people are not aware of. We move into our second concept, which is human images. The Torah also prohibits making a pasel. A pasel is an image, and a human-like image. So therefore, the prohibition is to sculpt an image of a person, and it refers specifically to the face of a human being. Can one keep such an image in one's house? One is not allowed to keep such an image in one's house unless it is partially disfigured. This is something that people have no idea about. One goes to other people's houses and sees images and statues and models of all kinds of people and humans all over in gardens, in displays. If there's sculptures of human beings, one has to disfigure them, take off a nose, take off an ear. It cannot be the full face of a sculpted human being. People have no idea, but this is a prohibition, and it's a prohibition to keep as well. Does it apply to a partial image of a human face? The answer is no. A half sculpture is considered defaced. And even though one may be paying a lot of money for, you know, that Picasso-like sculpture, nonetheless, it is not actually a prohibition if it's not the full face, which has the two eyes, the complete nose. Can a ring with a human image in a relief, be a signet ring, be kept or used? So you may not keep it because it has a face, a full human face protruding from it, but you can use it. If, let's say, you don't have it, but it comes to your hand, you're allowed to use it for sealing, because when one seals the wax, one's putting a depressed picture in, meaning one's depressing the image into the wax, and that's not a problem. But the flip side is true. If, let's say, one has a depressed ring, which means that the image is carved out of the ring, so one may own it, but one may, because it's not three-dimensional protruding, but one may not use it to stamp wax, because one will be creating the image of a face in the wax. What about drawing a 2D on paper? You're allowed to, the Shulchan Aruch allows drawing a two-dimensional face of a human being on paper. This is not a problem, like the sun and the moon. Is it permitted to gaze at the image of a human being? So this is actually very countercultural, because our culture spends so much time putting people as front and center all over. And the Torah says that we're not supposed to gaze at other human beings. This is forgetting scantily clad human beings on the front of magazine covers. That's a separate prohibition morally and lust, in regard to lust. We're talking about, even if there's no issues of morality or the lack of tznius of the image, we're talking about just looking at the human form. One's not supposed to. It says altifnu el Elilim, you're not supposed to turn to the idols, and therefore one is not supposed to be looking at the human form and more admiring it in such a way. You're allowed to look at coins or banknotes which have the images, because the people are not doing it, they're just for any further thoughts. It's simply just a practical usage. We look at our third concept, which is replicating the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah does not allow us to replicate the Beis HaMikdash, and so one is not allowed to make a model of the Beis HaMikdash itself or its parts. What is included in this prohibition? So one may not build the area of the actual Beis HaMikdash, the vestibule, the area which is before the ulam, which is the main building, or even the courtyard. You may not make an azara that's the same size as the Beis HaMikdash. What about the kelim? One may not make any of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. The kitzur identifies specifically the table or the menorah. These are things which one may have in one's own house. Generally speaking, obviously one doesn't have an aron or a mizbeach for the kitzur to mention it, but the shulchan and the menorah are things which people could have in their house. Are there exceptions to making menorahs of different numbers of branches? So yes, one can make a candelabra with 5 or 6 or 8 branches, but not 7. And even if it's not made out of gold, it's made out of another material, even if it's smaller or bigger, it is still prohibited, because the size and the material is not ma'akev, meaning to say, if it was of a different material and size, if it had 7 branches, it would count in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it is prohibited on a personal level as well. What about, he discusses, what about a candelabra which has 7 branches, but there's one central shaft, and then there's 6 candles in a circle around it. So not exactly like the Beis HaMikdash. The Kitzur cites 2 different opinions, and he says one should be machmir because it's an Isra d'Oraisa. So we're talking about a biblical prohibition. What about models of the Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that the prohibition of making the Beis HaMikdash or any parts of it are specifically the size or to scale of the Beis HaMikdash. But a smaller model is fine, and that's why many of us have seen models of the Beis HaMikdash. What about the Shevar HaMishcha, the anointing oil? So if one prepares the anointment oil identical to the Torah's prescription in order to use it for anointing, if one is Chayav Kares, one gets spiritual excommunication. And unintentionally, if they do it, one would need to bring a Korban Chatas, a sin offering. It's very serious. Is there a similar prohibition regarding the incense in the Torah? This is the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. The answer is yes. Preparing incense in the Torah is 11 ingredients in exact proportions, even if it's not the same weight, is a problem punishable by Kares. And however, preparation for just the study purposes is permitted and incurs no guilt. If one goes to Shiloh, ancient Shiloh, one can buy the 11 spices that were used for the incense, which are local to the region, but mixing them in the same proportions is the Issur D'oraisa. With this, we conclude some of the prohibited images or applications which are not allowed because of their proximity to holiness, the importance of these ideas. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.